Good morning. It's time to get up with the Bears quarterback battle. Justin Fields won't be week one's QB1. You'll hear how long our analysts think it'll be before he's in the top spot. Plus, which signal caller would you pay good money to watch today? Our former Heisman winner and longtime NFL quarterback tells us. And there was another huge announcement in college football yesterday. Why a new alliance could change college football for good. Get Up starts right now. And thank you so much for joining us this morning on Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. Got a great show for you this morning with a lot of football to get to. Our experts are ready to go. Kimberly A. Martin is here in studio with us. Jeff Saturday joining. Robert Griffin III is coming by, so he'll be in later in the show. But first, we will get up and go. And starting with the Yankees, they crushed three more homers and held off the Braves last night for their 11th straight win. It's New York's longest win streak in 36 years. Buster Olney is going to join us later with more on the red-hot Yankees. Plus, there's big news in the U.S. Open. In an Instagram post this morning, six-time singles champion Serena Williams said she is withdrawing from the event due to a torn hamstring. She did not give a timetable on when she would return to the court. So that is a big one right there. And just in, the Rams have acquired running back Sony Michel from the New England Patriots in exchange for future draft picks, according to Adam Schefter. Michel fills a big need for the Rams, who lost Cam Akers for the season to a torn Achilles. Now let's keep it right there with football, shall we? Because there's a lot to talk about with the Bears. That's where we start our conversation today, where head coach Matt Nagy has reiterated that Andy Dalton is his team's starting quarterback. Now on Tuesday, rookie Justin Fields talked about the position he's in and why he's trusting his head coach throughout this entire process.
I think if, you know, the players of a team don't buy into what a coach has to say, then that team's not going to be successful. So, I pretty much have no choice. That's ultimately why I'm trusting him, because, of course, you know, we all want the same thing. We all want to win games. So there's no reason for me not to trust him.
It's smart to trust him. Makes sense, because the Bears open up with last year's number one defense in the Rams and reigning defensive player of the year with Aaron Donald. Look at that schedule after week four, by the way. ESPN's Football Power Index predicts the Bears to win just two of their first six games. So let's bring in our crew, shall we? Kimberly A. Martin here with us, Jeff Saturday, and for the first time on Get Up, Robert Griffin III joining the team. Welcome in, my friend. Look at him taking a bow. I like it. I like the painting behind you. Another person with a great background on Get Up.
Last
Why can't
the
I do
joint.
That?
I like it.
All right. Well, Robert, let me start with you. What do you think about this decision for the Bears to go with Andy Dalton and how the schedule might play into this? Because I want to break that down as well.
Yeah, I don't think the schedule has much to do with why the Bears are deciding to go with Andy Dalton. I think once you decide to play Justin Fields, there is no going back. So when you have a bridge quarterback there like Andy Dalton, just go ahead and start him. It doesn't matter about the schedule. The coaches aren't looking at that. They're not picking and choosing who they think they can beat and when they want to ease Justin Fields into the game. So I think for them, it's, look, you brought in Andy Dalton. You made him all these promises. He's going on TV and every radio and anyone who has an ear, he's telling them that he's QB1. And they promised me this, you know, it's kind of like the Skip Bayless meme of it's his turn. And I think you just let him go out and play. You keep playing. If he doesn't play well, you go with Justin Fields full force ahead.
And here's why we bring up the point of the schedule. You saw the first six games there. You got the Rams, Bengals, Browns, Lions, right? But then after the Lions, there's this idea. There's the Raiders, Packers, Buccaneers, 49ers, Steelers, Ravens, playoff team after playoff team, Kimberly A. Martin. And I wonder if you're letting him sit on the bench and learn from Andy Dalton, and if things go sideways, now we're going to put him in. Does it make sense to put him in against the meat of a schedule like this with six or seven straight playoff teams in a row?
Well, here's what you have to understand. The big issue for this team is their offensive line. Mm. So, yes, this is a very difficult schedule, one of the toughest in the league, but you have a rookie quarterback. We all know this is Justin Fields' team, but right now the Bears are going to lean on Andy Dalton's experience. Week one, we talked about the Rams under the LA lights. That's Andy Dalton's turn, right? Mm-hmm. But if Justin Fields, right now Matt Nagy is trying to juggle getting Justin Fields ready, get him prepared, giving him an opportunity to grow so that when he does make the switch, you do not have to go back to Andy Dalton, because that would be a disaster.
Okay, Jeff, what do you think? When do you get Justin Fields in there?
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when football teams played the players that give them the best chance to win. But for whatever reason, that's not what we're going to do right now. Because your boy Justin Fields gives you the best chance to win. And look, if you're not going to play Fields all season, I totally get it. If we're going to do the whole, hey, we're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, we're going to ride with Andy Dalton all year, next year's Justin Fields, we're going to let him do it, that's great. You put this kid in week four or week five and think he's better than week one, you're fooling yourself. Because let me just help everybody with what an NFL schedule looks like in practice. That one quarter, that QB1, he gets all the reps in team, in inside, in blitz, and every other category you're looking at. You may give the backup 2-3 reps per session. That ain't getting a QB ready to go play. So if you think he's better in week six than he is right now, you're fooling yourself. That ain't how the football team works. And so I understand the concerns of the offensive line. I also understand the ability to move Justin Fields outside the pocket, right or left, which is very rare for a quarterback, and him be as equally accurate whichever way he's going, and you put in the ability to run the football. I like both sides. I think you can protect the quarterback by moving the pocket, trusting what he can do athletically, and then looking down the field. And listen, you do have to have the conversation. Protect yourself in the pocket and out of the pocket. But man, if you can't watch preseason and tell me he doesn't give the team the best chance to win, I'm not sure what tape we're all watching.
You got Kimberly over here giving every facial expression.
I'm pumped for Jeff Saturday. No, I'm completely with you because I agree with Jeff. Justin Fields gives them the best chance to win long term. But this is about the next 8 to 10 years, hopefully, if they're lucky with Justin Fields. You know, this isn't just about, oh, well, the Bears need to win games. Matt Nagy has to keep his job this year in 2021. It's bigger than that. And we talk. Listen, you understand the importance of an O-line, don't you? You do. So why would we have this kid out there behind that O-line? That to me is the issue, and so I think that's what the Bears are looking at. How do you balance all of that?
It is a tricky discussion, guys. Yeah. We're going to leave it there because we're going to come back to this discussion very soon. Yeah. Don't worry, Jeff. I'll give you your time to jump in. Don't worry. I will. Now, let's go to New England because there's a lot of football to cover today. New England, where the Patriots are in the midst of a quarterback battle. That could see a shift this week. Mac Jones took the first team reps for the second straight day with Cam Newton out until at least Thursday under COVID protocol. Here's Bill Belichick with more on this situation.
The fact he's not here, does it change your view of where things stand at that position?
Yeah, we'll evaluate everything the way we always do based on the information we have.
Big opportunity for Mac Jones this week. I mean, everybody, it all figures together.
Got to get more on this situation. And if you got to get more on New England, you got to go to Mike Reese. So, Mike, what have you seen at practice the last 2 days?
Ryan, I could sum it up in three words. Mac Jones show. He's gotten all the number one reps over the last 2 days for the first time since training camp began. And at times he's looked the part, throwing beautiful touchdown passes. Other times he's looked like a rookie, throwing a pick six going the other way for 100 yards. But I'll tell you, other than the plays, what stood out to me, Ryan, was one thing yesterday. He was in a hot stretch in practice, threw two touchdown passes, and he flashed up two fingers in the direction of Matt Judon, the veteran outside linebacker, almost as if to tell him, I just threw two touchdown passes on you. I looked at a fellow reporter and I said, is that Mac Jones talking trash to one of the Patriots' top defensive players? Showed his commitment, his confidence is growing on the field.
Showed some edge, too. Okay, so what are teammates saying about Mac Jones?
Well, Judon, I think, appreciated the trash talk. He sort of delivered it right back to him and said, you know, Mac's a good quarterback. He's reading things well, and he's learning when to be assertive. And then there was tight end Jonnu Smith. He said you could tell that Mac is getting more comfortable and settling in. And longtime captain Matthew Slater said that you really have seen him earn the respect of all the players in the locker room by the way he's gone about his craft. It's a big day, Ryan. The Giants are here for joint practices. Big opportunity for Mac Jones.
Big opportunity indeed. Mike Reese, always a pleasure. You do a great job. Thank you so much. Let's bring in our team back. And Jeff, I'll start with you. In some ways, I think it feels unfair for Cam Newton because, you know, he's in this situation. He's in the protocol. This gives Mac Jones a chance. What do you make of this situation that you're seeing in New England?
Life ain't fair. That's the bottom line. In NFL, it ain't fair either. So When you get your chance, you grab a hold of that thing and you don't let go. That's the opportunity Mac Jones has been given. Listen, I had a guy, had an emergency appendectomy a Saturday night before we were going to go play the Philadelphia Eagles. I got my chance to play guard. I never looked back, man. Ended up going back and forth at guard and starting at center the next year. It don't matter. Like, nobody cares about why you're out, what the problem is. Mac Jones' opportunity, he needs to seize it, show everybody he can take these reps throughout the week, show up against the Giants and prove himself. And to the credit of Matthew Slater, whoever said it, he's earning the respect, and you continue to earn that respect by what you do in practice, the way that you handle yourself. I love the trash talk, all that thing. But at the end of the day, he's earning respect by stacking day after day of good practice. And that's exactly what Bill Belichick is looking for if he wants to be the number one QB.
And Robert, I think a lot of people talk about now, okay, Mac Jones is getting the reps now. The preseason game is going to be big for him. But for you, you talked in the meeting earlier before the show that that's not even the biggest factor, whether Mac Jones starts in the preseason game coming up.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you talk about who? Mac Jones. I think he's
I got it, Robert. I got it.
I appreciate it. I was teammates with Matt Judon for 3 years. And if he's out there talking trash with the guy and he's backing up what he's saying, that means a lot, because Judon's seen it. He knows what it looks like. He knows what it takes to win big-time games in the NFL. So for Mac Jones, it's not the preseason game that's the most important thing. It's what Mike Reese talked about, the practice, right? The Patriots are getting a look at what it'd be like without Cam Newton there for the foreseeable future. So, yes, Cam has played great in the preseason, but Mac Jones is giving them a glimpse of what the future is going to look like. And if he's walking out there and playing with swagger just like he did at Alabama when he got his opportunity, Bill Belichick, we all know he's okay to do a Wally Pipp story. He did it to Drew Bledsoe, and he talked about it. Wes Welker about it when Julian Edelman was balling out in the preseason. So we know this is right down the alley for Bill Belichick, so we'll see what happens.
So if you think about it that way, Kimberly, how might this affect Mac Jones' timeline to become the starter?
Well, I think what the guys are saying is true. Now, I don't think this will necessarily, like, in 3 days or 2 days, Mac Jones can do enough to plant his flag in the field and say, this is my team week one. But it could speed up when we see him on the field. Like, I think Cam Newton gives the Patriots an added dimension that Mac doesn't have. But if he, whether it's against this Giants defense or in the preseason game, if he plays well and gives his teammates more confidence in him, which it sounds like they already have confidence in him, the coaching staff might say, okay, we can trust our offense in his hands.
Wow, imagine that. And all because of a situation that seemed more like a misunderstanding with the COVID protocol with Cam Newton. But
Jeff Saturday doesn't care about misunderstanding.
Like, life is not fair, says Jeff Saturday. That's a lesson learned for Wednesday. All right, guys, thanks so much. We'll come back to that more in just a little bit. But coming up, Lamar Jackson. He has some doubts, but why that's not bad news. Some have doubted him, I should say. Why the Ravens quarterback has a point to prove this season. And Jerry Jones is saying all the right things about Dak Prescott. Why the Cowboys owner needs to stay optimistic and patient about his quarterback.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by GEICO. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance. Well, let's go on the clock, and let's start with Kimberly A. Martin. Kimberly, how far will Baker Mayfield take the Browns this season?
Listen, everything I'm hearing out of Berea is that Odell and Baker, they've been working together before, during, and after practice. The two of them are on the same page. So as long as they're joined at the hip, I feel really good about the Browns' chances this
year.
Okay,
that must make them very happy to hear
Dangerous.
That.
Dangerous.
And look at you coming in way under time. Wow, all right. Jeff Saturday, I'll go to you. You get more time. Jeff, how far will Josh Allen take the Bills this season?
Ooh, I'm going to say AFC championship game, but I'm gonna preface it with health matters, you know, in a large way here, right? This is a team that really should have lost to the Colts in the playoffs last year, missed field goal and missed opportunities. But when you look at this football team, I don't think they're as deep as the Browns, and I don't think they're as good as the Chiefs if both are healthy. So when you look at this team, I think Josh Allen can get them there. They've got to get a better running game to support him. I think ultimately if they do that, they got a strong shot at playing in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, a few more pieces have to fall into place. So, Robert, how far will Lamar Jackson take the Ravens this season?
I think Jeremy Fowler and those guys are wrong. They're just fishing for excuses as to why they can't stop Lamar Jackson. And I think the Ravens take that final step. I think they take it all the way to the Super Bowl. You know, I know the guys in that locker room. I know how they work. I know how much it means to them. That defense is aging a little bit. So I think it's now or never for the Baltimore Ravens. And I think Lamar Jackson gets it done.
Super Bowl. Okay. All right. So speaking of Lamar Jackson, and by the way, Robert, speaking of our colleague Jeremy Fowler, let's take our viewers back to a comment that he made on the show last week. And Lamar was actually asked about it. So take a listen to this, everyone.
Lamar Jackson, there are a lot of people around the league that I speak to that are talking a little slick. They say this might be the year that everybody figures out Lamar Jackson.
Lamar, I don't know if you've heard this, but some unnamed team official said that this is the year that people are going to be able to figure out Lamar Jackson. Have you heard, did you hear that? Or what would your reaction be about him hearing that?
I'm going to keep playing football. We're going to see, but I doubt it, dude. I doubt it. I strongly doubt it. We're going to play ball.
I love that reaction. Yeah? What else is new? I doubt it. All right, so, Robert, I'll start out with you because you played with Lamar Jackson. You have seen him firsthand on the field 4 years. You've been there with him. What do you make of the idea that the NFL might be figuring out Lamar this season?
Yeah, I don't think that has any validity to it. That reaction by Lamar there, I mean, I can just hear him right now in my ear saying, man, he green for that. He being legit right now. And that's some of that Florida twang. Look it up. Don't worry about it. It's very accurate. But Lamar, hey, Lamar, I've said this a number of times. He's a guy that honestly, what he does is go out and play football. He doesn't think about it. He's an instinctual player. So right when teams think they figured him out, they haven't. Because guess what? He doesn't even know what he's going to do next. He's such an instinctual player. You can figure out the Ravens offense. I mean, every time on third and short, they ran the ball up the middle with Lamar. Even I had a run against the Pittsburgh Steelers last year before I tore my hamstring up the middle for like 30 or 40 yards. So the offense and the predictability of it, yeah, some people have talked about it. Even Lamar has talked about it. But at the end of the day, you have to stop him. He is the offense. Now you add weapons around him, Mark Andrews, Sammy Watkins, Rashad Bateman, Hollywood Brown, James Prochet, and their offense becomes a really difficult thing to deal with.
So I just want to do a quick follow-up on something you said. You said he doesn't even know sometimes what he's going to do next, but you also mentioned that you think this team is going to the Super Bowl. I don't think we have seen a team go to the Super Bowl with a quarterback where you don't really know what you're going to do next. So do you think that style of play can really make it all the way to the Super Bowl, if not win it all?
Yeah, I mean, that's a legitimate question there. And I think you've seen it over the course of Lamar Jackson's career, how he's made steps each step of the way, right? So the first year they lose in the playoffs, first round. Next year they win the divisional round. And Yeah, it's a tough cookie to crack, but I think that's why he won't be figured out. And I think if you look at the Ravens in their history, a couple of years back, I started against the Steelers in the last game of the year. We lost the first round of playoffs because when you are such an instinctual player and you play off of the feel of the game, you need to keep playing. So I feel like the best route for the Ravens isn't to go 17-0 or 13-3. They need to get into the wild card so they can play every single week. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, they're 6-1 in the wild card round, and that's how they won their Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. They kind of just ran the gamut, and I think that's what Lamar Jackson needs to stay in rhythm and continue to have his feel for the game, not to have those weeks off where he can kind of relax and not have the feel of the game for him.
Kimberly, what do you think has changed in year four? What have they figured him out?
That's my question. That's literally my question. What is so different about this year being the magical year? And I say that because when I talk to people around the league, they say, you know, defensive coaches say, give me three games of some film. I get a feel for a guy. Give me a whole, like, library of a season. Okay, you know, second year, all right, we got some things for him. Lamar Jackson was the MVP. Like, that's why I'm a little confused as to what people think they can do against Lamar, because this is a guy who's been to the playoffs every single year he's been in the league. And one personnel guy even said to me, there's no secret when it comes to stopping the Ravens. When you get off the bus, you know you need to stop the run. So everybody knows that, and yet they still can't do it consistently.
But Jeff, you mentioned in our meeting before the show that the passing game is a big deal with this team to really get to the next level.
Absolutely. Listen, it's trash that people are saying they could stop Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, you're talking about probably the most explosive player in the NFL with the ball in his hand. So stopping Lamar Jackson, I'm not a fan of that. I would love to see a lot of guys come forward and tell me which one is doing that. So that being said, their offense is very predictable. And you heard Robert say the same thing and Kimberly say the same thing. You know when you get off the bus what you have to do. The issue is the development of the passing game. And I don't care who you are, you cannot be one-dimensional and go win the Super Bowl. That's not how this thing works. And when you think about having to go play teams like Kansas City, who can hang 34 and 40 points on you, how do you trade back and forth and how do you go back and forth? That's by extending this offensive passing game. Here's my biggest issue. Everybody's been hurt, right? Lamar's missed because of COVID. You've had Bateman's got to have surgery. Watkins went down. Hollywood Brown went down. So there's no timing. And I'm telling you, the NFL season is different. Everybody thinks you can grow. This is not the case, right? They need to find rhythm as early as possible and then allow this team to develop as the season goes.
All right, we'll keep this discussion going later in the show. A lot to talk about with the Ravens, but we got to talk about the Cowboys. They say that Dak Prescott is going to be ready for the opener in 2 weeks. Why that means big things for his buddy Zeke, especially early on.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's play our game of more or less. Let's call it the Dak Prescott version, shall we? Kimberly, we'll start with you. More or less than 5,000 passing yards for the Cowboys starting quarterback?
I'm going to say less. I just want to see the shoulder in action. I'm going to go less. He hasn't thrown 5,000 before. I don't think this is the year. I think they need a more balanced attack. Dak and Zeke, that's the key to the Cowboys this year.
I like that. It's like, what is it, Ben Lowe? I can't remember what they used to call him.
Benifer,
it's been that long.
Come Benifer. On.
It's been that long. Jeff, more or less than 35 touchdowns for Dak Prescott.
I'm going less, but because of the Deke, I love it. I mean, I don't know if she just coined the phrase or not.
I think she did.
I'm all about Ezekiel Elliott and this offensive line getting healthy. You got three dudes coming back that I think help this football team win games, and it doesn't have to all fall on Dak Prescott. I love the Deke principle, baby. Feed Zeke and let Dak follow it up.
Deke, get the trademark off of line one. Robert, more or less than 9.5 wins for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
Guys, I don't know if I'm going to jump on the Deke and all that. That's a little out there for me. But I would say 9.5 wins is right on for the Dallas Cowboys in that NFC East division. If Dak Prescott can come back and be even a 75% of the player that he was, they have a chance to win that division.
Okay, and we'll see how that plays out. Now, speaking of Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, obviously in a tough spot right now, he had this to say about the status of Dak Prescott as the regular season fast approaches.
I wouldn't be nervous this morning as to where he is in his recovery. He's there. I'd like for him to have this week of practice just to get ready to play Tampa, but of course we've got, 2.5 weeks or 2 weeks. But the bottom line is he's there.
The bottom line is he's there. I mean, at least he's there. That is something. So, Robert, this is interesting. You've mentioned before that it's not necessarily the shoulder injury that concerns you, but something more. Talk about what concerns you here with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, the shoulder injury, back injury that Dak is dealing with is more of an overuse injury. So if he can rest it up like they're doing and keep him out of the preseason games, he'll be ready to roll for the regular season. But what concerns me more is the leg injury from last year. Just making sure that he's healthy enough to go out there and play the way that he wants to play the game. Early on in the rehab process, it's about 90% physical, 10% mental. But once you make that transition and you're back on the field, it actually flips on its head and it becomes 10% physical. So I don't want to see some of these injuries throughout his body like he's dealing with right now with the shoulder. I want them to be able to ease him back into it. He's going to have to lean on skinny Ezekiel Elliott. You know, this dude's worked his tail off to get into shape and be ready to roll. That offensive line is getting back healthy, and they need to ease Dak in so that they don't put all the pressure on him, even though, yeah, they paid him a gazillion million rubies to go out there.
And Jeff Saturday, that always becomes the problem, right? You paid him the big money. You want the big wins. And I continue to say that for these Cowboys, just making it to the playoffs is not enough. They got to go far. So how do you balance that on a team like this, knowing that you also want to take care of Dak Prescott's shoulder and his leg injury?
Yeah, I think what Jerry said is true, man. It's time. Like, from the shoulder injury, he's resting it. He's going to have 4 more days basically off because of the NFL rules before they play Tampa. He'll throw each of those 4 days, even without the team around, make sure that arm's feeling good. I think he threw 50 or 60 passes the other day, looked good doing it. I'm with Jerry, man. Listen, this is his football team. He's got to get out there and lead these guys. I don't care about preseason. I don't care about any of that stuff. But when he hits it week one, I think he is your dude to roll with. And I think whether irrespective of it's the ankle or the shoulder, he's your guy. Feed Zeke, like I said before, and this thing will be just fine.
Yeah. What do you think?
The throwing shoulder has concerned me from the beginning. Mm. And I hear what the Cowboys are saying. However, it concerns me because as of right now, we don't know if this will linger throughout the season. Right now, we know that during a season, he won't get the time to rest. Like, if this is an overuse issue, when will he be able to rest it? You know, as RG3 and Jeff are saying, like, this guy is the foundation of this team. Like, they paid him a lot of money. Are the Cowboys going to want to ease him in? Are they going to feel pressed? Because, like you said, Ryan, there's a lot of pressure on this team, not just to make through playoffs, but to win the division and get further in the NFC race. So that's why I'm concerned. This is the problem with trademarking. This is the problem. But until you see Dak on the field, no issues, then you cannot worry, I think.
Jeff, go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you talk about easing a guy in, there is no easing it in. Like, and Robert just said it, you can't make him feel any more comfortable about his ankle than it already is, right? He's going to have guys fall. He's going to have all those situations. He is the leader of your football team. Like, Zeke's not the leader. The guy, he is your leader. He's got to be on the field. If he's healthy, he plays. And let me tell you something. The one thing you can't do is lie to the locker room. There ain't no ease in, bro. If he's healthy enough to play, he needs to play just like all the rest of us. And guys understand that. And Dak understands that. That's why he'll be there week one. This ain't about a 10-year projection. This is about them winning now. And with this season, they're capable of doing it, but only with him at the helm.
You know, you see it in Hard Knocks. He is showing no indication of wanting to be eased into anything. He's like, I'm ready.
No way.
I want to get out there. I'm ready. I want to go now. All right. Guys, thanks so much. Now, Robert, we're going to have you put together a little list here for us. We call it The Fundamentalist. Now, first, I thought that was a new Disney show, but it's a fundamental list about the top five quarterbacks. So tell us, for you, give us a list of the top five quarterbacks you would pay to watch right now in the NFL. Start us with number five.
Oh, without a doubt, number five has to be Kyler Murray. Jeff, when we're talking about easing guys in, this is what I'm talking about. When you talk about running quarterbacks, dual threat guys who can throw it and run the ball, with Dak, he just needs to make sure that he's not running as often early on in the season. But when you look at Kyler Murray, he's got the weapons on the outside. He's got the weapons of his feet to go plays. And I can tell you right now, they're expecting big things out of him, and he's going to be in a contract year as you see him go right there and shake a guy out of his shoes and get in the end. And then now, you want to go to number four. We got Russell Wilson. I kind of think Russell Wilson is a guy, he's kind of like a jack of all trades, right? He can run it a little bit. He can throw it a little bit. You're not really wowed by his arm strength, but he does it, and he knows how to get the job done. He's got DK Metcalf, he's got Lockett. These guys are balling out for him, and Russell Wilson's been doing it for a long time. I'm a big fan. So now we got number three. Let's talk about Josh Allen. Right? Josh Allen had an incredible year last year, really took that next step that everyone was looking for out of him. And why did he do that? His confidence went through the roof, and it was a lot easier for him throwing to a guy like Stephon Diggs, making plays for him in the end zone, getting open. So when you look at Josh Allen, obviously the arm strength and his just freaking unbelievable arm talent jumps off. And he can also run the ball with the best of them. Now, when you look at number two, we got Patrick Mahomes. You can make an argument that he should be at number one, but I think these are the quarterbacks that I'm just can't wait to go watch them ball out. And when you think of Patrick Mahomes, obviously you got Tyreek Hill and all the receivers and Travis Kelce making plays for him, but it's just his ability to just put it in the Super Bowl with making throws basically on the ground. He's a joy to watch. So when you talk about the number one quarterback that I would pay to go watch, shoot, guys, I watched him for 3 years. He's phenomenal. He does some things that I've never seen in my life by a quarterback running the ball. He had this spin move, sweet spin move against the Cincinnati Bengals. That was one of the best runs I've ever seen. But I think the thing that's under talked about is his ability to throw the ball. He can throw it down the field. He can throw it down the middle of the field. And you know he can run down the middle of the field. He's one of the quickest and fastest quarterbacks this league has ever seen. Lamar Jackson is must-see TV, and he's going to go out there this year and, I believe, bring the Super Bowl to Baltimore.
I like the list. I got to tell you, people are going to give you some heat for putting Mahomes number two and Lamar number one, but I like the list. Kimberly, what do you think?
I like the list, too. I wonder if this list is going to be obsolete because year four is the year that everybody figures out Lamar Jackson. So I don't know. I don't know if he should be one anymore. I actually like this list. I actually like this list. But, yeah, you're going to get a ton of grief from Mahomes number two.
Yeah, sure. Jeff, what do you say?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
I'm actually, where is Tua? Like, I mean, if we're talking about how a quarterback's going to affect the football team, like, I need to see Tua in year two somewhere. I know Patrick. Hey, I know Patrick Mahomes is going to ball. I ain't worried about that. I need to see how this young man comes in and takes this Dolphins football team, and can he excel in the AFC East, man? I mean, this is a true difference maker year for Tua. That's the only one that I would put on the list.
Brother, you're high. Jeff Saturday, you are high.
Okay. This is a list of guys I'm paying to watch. This isn't a list of guys that I'm looking out for what they're going to do this year. And Tua, although he can run it and throw it, he's not running and throwing it like those guys.
Jeff wants the boomer bust. Okay, boomer bust list. I respect that. All right, guys, when we come back, Clemson seems to be in the college football playoff annually, but how a huge alliance they just joined could affect them and other powerhouses very soon.
Say, who do you think you are? I'm a Rattler. What a throw. Magical by Sam Howell.
And off to the races goes Justin Ross.
Did anybody even touch Kayvon Thibodeau?
To the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Back with you on Get Up, and college football is indeed back with some pretty big changes. Now, let's run it down for you. So far earlier this summer, the NCAA changed its stance and will now allow college athletes to make money on their names, images, and likenesses, also known as the NIL ruling. Less than a month ago, the SEC invited Texas and Oklahoma to join the conference to create a 16-school league by 2025, which would leave the Big 12 without its two premier schools. And then yesterday, the big deal. The ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 announced an alliance between their 41 member schools. Among other things, the PAC agrees to create future scheduling partnerships. Now, this is a big deal, so we had to bring in Heather Dinitz to talk a little bit about this. And Heather, what does this alliance look like between three conferences, these three conferences? What does it look like in practicality?
Well, practically speaking, the scheduling component is probably what would interest fans most. The question is, when do you actually see that? Because as Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren pointed out yesterday, between 2022 and 2035, there are already 68 non-conference games on the schedule. So the question then is, does the Big Ten and Pac-12, do they change from 9 conference games to 8? George Kliavkov said that in order to do that, they would have to get agreement from ESPN and Fox, because they've got a TV contract through the next 3 years to honor the commitment for 9 games. So that's the practical aspect of it, along with an unwritten agreement that they're not going to take each other's teams.
Okay, so that's a big one, considering what's happening in college football. And I think people sit back and they say, oh, just work out the TV deals. But that's not always so simple. But the other point becomes, what does this mean for the future of the Big 12?
Well, the Pac-12 is the X factor in that entire conversation, because while they're not going to take each other's teams, that doesn't mean they won't look elsewhere. Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov told me yesterday that in the next couple of days, his conference is going to announce whether they want to expand. If they do, do they go into the Big 12, into the state of Texas in the Central Time Zone, where I can almost guarantee you Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor would jump at the opportunity, if not at the very least entertain that offer. And if that happens, the rest of the Big 12 is in big trouble.
Okay, so what timeline are we working with here? You talked about the games that are lined up through 2035. What timeline are we working with here in terms of a tangible impact of this alliance?
That is a great question, and one nobody was able to answer directly yesterday, because they were all three commissioners were asked that question. And, you know, right now they pointed to the non-conference games that already exist. You know, we'll see what happens. But I think the big picture takeaway from yesterday was that their stability is in this unwritten contract, which doesn't, and there's no contract exists, right? But this agreement to say, I'm not going to take your teams, you don't take my teams, and that's going to happen now.
You know, I have to admit, Heather, when I hear that there's no contract, as a lawyer, I always think, unless it's in writing, and I know everything that's going to happen in writing, I'll believe it when I see it. But it does seem like something that has the potential of having a major impact. And you talk about these schools involved and the SEC, really. Since the college football playoff was established in 2014, the SEC has won 4 of the 7 titles and is the only conference with a winning record in playoff games. The ACC has won 2 titles and 6 playoff games. all coming from Clemson. So, Heather, you stay with us. Let's bring in Paul Feinbaum as well and bring back Robert and Jeff. And, Paul, I start with you. What impact do you see all of this having on college football?
Ryan, I think that the most immediate impact is it slows down the expansion of the playoff, which is interesting because that's the one thing college football needed the most. 2 months ago, we sat here and talked about how great it was that there was going to be a 12-team playoff expansion, perhaps as early as 2 years from now. Who needed that more than anyone? The Pac-12, which is pretty much a black hole in college football right now. And that we're not going to get it because there's such division right now in college football. You have three conferences over here, which we saw yesterday. You have the SEC over here, and the Big 12 has been left out with nowhere to go. That is not a good sign for getting that playoff started anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Robert, I'm glad we have you here because you won a Heisman Trophy playing in the Big 12. So when you hear the news of this alliance, what's your reaction to that?
To be honest with you, the NFL team that I play for no longer exists. So when I heard about this alliance, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, is the conference that I played in not going to exist either? And, you know, your heart sinks, but it's kind of like you're the last guy picked in the basketball gym when they're picking teams. And that's where the Big 12 is right now. So when you talk about the teams in the Big 12 that might get plucked by the other conferences, I'm definitely hoping that Baylor University is one of those schools if the Big 12 doesn't survive, because there's a lot of legacy. If you look at what they've done just in the last 5 to 10 years across all sports, next year winning the NCAA championship for men's basketball, it's something that it doesn't make me feel great, right? But we're talking about this alliance, and they're saying, hey, I'm not going to coach your school if you don't coach mine. I've seen guys without contracts say they're not going to go after a guy's girlfriend. They still do that, so who knows?
Well, okay, good point. Good point. That's what I say about contracts. But, Jeff, do you think this alliance is going to be a good thing or a bad thing for college football?
I actually think it's going to be a good thing. When I think about it, right, TV drives the whole thing. So I would love to see the ACC and some Pac-12 teams play each other, or Big Ten teams play each other. I think, you know, people are tired of the cupcake games, right? They want to see big teams, big names play each other. And so I think from the ACC's perspective, get Notre Dame in as well and to be able to play these games, I think that gives you true competition against the SEC, which we know, kind of carries it all. So when I look at it, I think it's very intelligent from these guys. Again, I think it's more of a TV thing and being able to put big names on those Saturdays.
Yeah, it's a good point. I really think seeing those games is really going to move fans a lot more. But, Paul, I come to you for the last word. We just have a little bit of time left. What do you think – where do you think this leaves the state of college football as you want to see it?
I think college football is in a state of disaster right now, Ryan. And the one thing that we heard last year, remember the buildup toward the season, we wanted to see a collaborative effort, and we didn't see it. We saw the Big Ten and the Pac-12 break off. They did not play the first 8 weeks of the season. And we hope that everyone would come together, because that's what these gentlemen talk about and women when they meet. They don't back up their own words, and that's the tragedy of this. This college football is a mess, and it needs to come together, and it's no closer today than it's been in a long time.
All right. Paul Feinbaum, thank you so much. Heather, thank you for your great reporting on that as well. And, guys, stay with us because we'll be back to more football. But first, let's go to baseball for a second because, you know, the talk was break up the New York Yankees, but look at what they've been doing. They beat the Braves on Tuesday 5-4 to extend their win streak to 11 consecutive games. When the streak began, they trailed the Red Sox by 2.5 games. Now they are up 2.5 games on the Sox. The Yankees have been on a tear. Those 11 straight wins are their longest since 1985. During this stretch, they've outscored their opponents by 33 runs, and their 2.44 ERA is second best in the bigs, trailing only the Dodgers. So we had to bring in Buster Olney to talk more about this, because this Yankee turnaround is frankly amazing, Buster. A month ago, we wondered if the Yankees might be sellers at the trade deadline, and now they are entrenched and a likely playoff team. What is the biggest change in your mind?
There's no question about it. It's those pre-deadline deals that they made for Anthony Rizzo and for Joey Gallo to help to restore the depth of the lineup, the power of that lineup as front office envisioned it during the offseason. Because now that you have those two guys, along with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Luke Voit and Gary Sanchez, DJ LeMahieu, they're just obliterating teams. It's that old-fashioned Yankee style, taking a lot of pitches, seeing a lot of pitches, 4.1 pitches per plate appearance. Since they made this deal, the Yankees, or since the, during this 11-game winning streak, they have opposing pitchers with an ERA of 7.09. They've been wearing them down.
Okay, so it's one thing for the Yankees to make the playoffs, but we know we're sitting in New York right now. We know that in New York it's about World Series or bust. How legit are they as a World Series contender?
I think they're absolutely legitimate. When you look at the landscape of the American League, there's no super team there. The Dodgers are still trying to figure things out in National League. The Giants, with the best record in baseball, will see how they react once they get the postseason. But for the Yankees, the big issue they have to settle, the back end of their bullpen. Aroldis Chapman, their closer, has had struggles. Last night we saw Aaron Boone pull him out of the game in the ninth inning. I think they'll continue to do that, continue to try to get Chapman right, because the best Yankees team is with Aroldis Chapman throwing the ninth inning.
Strong bullpen on this team. Man, they could, the sky is the limit. So we will see how that goes. Buster Olney, thank you so much. Appreciate the time, my friend. Well, tonight we're going to have the second game of the three-game set between NL West rivals, the Dodgers and the Padres at Petco, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, on ESPN and on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Well, coming up, many Bears fans want to see Justin Fields start week one. Why? One of our experts thinks sitting him right now is the right thing for now. And look who's coming up. Swagoo, getting ready. You know, we saw Robert Griffin scrambling wildly on the show, and he said, I need a sack. So he came in to join us. We'll be back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.